Hey everybody, thanks for joining the show today. This is Pro Edge Podcast. I'm Tim Meyer. I'm sitting down with Matt Jones, who is hosting the show, and we are talking with Ricky Steele. Ricky Steele's a very exciting fighter to watch from the Treasure Valley. He fights out of SBG, Idaho. He's undefeated. He also is on the UFC's Ultimate Fighter show, Undefeated Season. And if you've been following that show, he is undefeated on that show as well. He won last week, and that was an awesome fight. So we have already begun talks to get him back on our show for the next podcast. But in the meantime, keep listening to our episodes. Give us some love. Give us some likes. Give us some five stars. Go ahead and share the episode if you enjoy it. And we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thanks again for listening in.
Yeah, so we're here on the Pro Edge Podcast, and we got Ricky the Karate Kid Steele here.
Welcome.
What's up?
And, yeah, thanks for coming, man. We're excited to have you.
This is going to be a great podcast for all the fight fans, especially here in the local area, as I'm sure anyone who follows Ricky on social media knows that he tried out for the Ultimate Fighter show just last week, and we're going to talk with him today about that. So.
Yeah, man, it was cool, it was exciting. I ain't heard nothing yet. It'll be about a week, so hopefully we get a real Merry Christmas phone call. But yeah, we went down last week in Vegas, and you know, didn't really know what to expect. It's the first time I've ever done anything like this, but it was real cool, man. Just nothing but real solid dudes. Saw some real awesome competition. You know, of course, there's gonna be a bunch of badass competition, but you know, we're more than ready.
Yeah. So. It was a good experience, man. So you tried out last Tuesday, right?
So we were there Tuesday, yeah.
So a week Monday from today.
Yeah, nice. A week.
So like most people, sorry, my throat's dry. But like most people don't understand the process. I don't even understand really the process. So could you kind of like walk me through or walk us through what happened? So like how did you find out about it? How did you apply?
Social media. It was only 3 weeks ago, which was really not
quick
at all. Yeah, it was real quick. So coming off a real busy work summer, and saw this and was like, oh, absolutely. I always felt like the Ultimate Fighter, you know, we had that kind of style, that different, you know, technique and stuff that they're always looking for, you know, with the karate, you know.
So, it's a very unique style,
yeah,
and you're undefeated, and so, it's the battle of the undefeated,
right, yeah, this is awesome. If anyone to be a part of this is like, yeah, this is it, man.
This what's your record, Ricky?
5-0 right now.
Nice.
So,
And where have you been fighting?
Kind of all over, a couple in Utah, my debut in Utah, and a RFA fight in Utah.
Okay.
So they also sent me over to Minnesota.
Cool.
Front Street Fights, you know, been lucky enough to be able to fight here at home.
Yeah, I saw you on Front Street Fights.
Yep. So, going to Vegas, man, it was just kind of, it was a hell of an experience. You walk into this room with a group of undefeated fighters, man, it's just, everybody there is just badass, you know, and just, and there to handle business. So it was kind of just the whole demeanor, the energy, it was actually really cool. After that, for the first day was really intense, I ain't gonna lie. You know, you stand around, you sign up, they put us in a room and they match you up and you grapple. It's like you got 1 minute, maybe a minute and a half, and just balls to the wall, hit it and try to show them what's up. And so
dude, sitting there during that, man,
it's just grappling.
Just
that's all it was, just grappling,
start from the knees, like seriously,
jiu-jitsu,
ready to go, fucking throw them around. You got 1 minute to make it happen. So it was cool, super intense, you know. And it's just that whole time we was actually one of the last ones to get called, and I'm sitting there just like sweating my ass off, just like, come on, man, I'm ready.
What was the environment like when you guys were all doing your rounds? Was everybody stressed out?
It was quiet.
Quiet,
dude, intense, like I said.
Headphones or like people just zoned out or what?
No, everybody standing at attention, and you know, all eyes on what's going on. So they squared us up, all out there by ourselves in the middle of the mat in front of the whole group. So everybody's seen everything.
Wow.
And just the jiu-jitsu there was absolutely fabulous, man. These guys are for real. Like, it's so awesome, man. Everything there we saw was great. And we had a good match as well. So had a good showing. And so right then and there after the grappling, they let half the group go.
Wow.
So they make the cut.
Yeah, so they'll call off names.
Right,
like,
away.
Hey, if you didn't hear your name, you know, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
And so then you stick around and they call you up to do a little pad session. And we had a great show in there, you know.
Hell yeah.
Buddy Matt, we tore it up. We've been training real hard on, you know, a routine, I say routine, I mean, this is real life fight shit that we've been doing. So when we showed up, just, it was night and day difference what we had going on.
Dude, fighters were coming up to me and just being like, you guys like looked amazing, you know, you standing out. And then that one guy, what'd you say his name was, the matchmaker of the UFC?
Yeah, Sean Shelby.
Yeah, well, he even said it. He's like, better see some flying stuff, you know, like,
Sean Shelby was calling us a Karate Kid, man. So,
that's cool. You know. Yeah, it's like a good sign.
Good for you, man. Yeah, that's super exciting.
So, dude, after you made it past the pads, you had to go be interviewed, right?
Right, yep. So you make the cut, you go to the interview. Now, they say that's the hard part, really. I mean, you got to make it to the interview, but the interview, really, that's the hard part.
Yeah.
And it's TV, you know, so.
Tell us how they interviewed you, man.
It's kind of funny, man. So you walk in, and like I said, I didn't know what to expect here, but right off the bat, before I sit down, I'm walking in. Oh, Ricky Steele, the Karate Kid. I like Ricky Steele, but you couldn't come up with something better than the Karate Kid? It's like, you know, just antagonize Will.
Yeah,
of course, man.
Everybody knows who the Karate Kid is.
It's just okay, so right away.
That's how bad that guy was at talking shit.
Yeah,
that's all terrible. Could say.
Right, so they obviously wanted to kind of rile me up and see, you know, so it was cool. Being a bantamweight, we're stepping up here at featherweight to do this tournament. And they pointed it out. They're like, you know, these guys are quite a bit bigger than you. Don't scare you. Oh, shit. If I was scared, I wouldn't be here, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fight in the cage.
I mean, you never lost, man. And confidence goes a long way. Dude, you don't know what it feels like to lose. So you go in there to win. You go in there not to lose.
Hey,
right?
Yeah, show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser.
Yeah, right? Totally. Totally. Yeah, man, that's good. You kick ass. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, we try hard. So, yeah. You know, after that, it was kind of unfortunate. They had featherweight, lightweight, and welterweight all try out, and so waiting around all day long for the interviews. Man, just took forever. We all met back up that evening, and they decided to cut a whole another group. They cut the welterweights just right then and there, and. So we're left with featherweights and the lightweights hanging around all week. We got to stay and do every medical test known to man, pretty much. You
know,
you get
MRI?
Except the rubber glove. No rubber glove, thank God.
Was that for prostate?
Yeah.
Jeez.
MRIs, yes. Everything, man.
Yeah. Did you get to see the results of all this?
No, so that's the deal now. We're kind of just waiting around. Things are looking good, but we'll see who's exactly eligible after they get all the results back. And, you know, we fight to get on the house. We're already chosen to get on the house. You know, kind of up in the air still. So, like I said, hopefully we get a good
Honestly,
Christmas,
man, you made it that far. And
that's pretty impressive.
I feel like if they were going to cut
Shelby
you, they
would have. Shelby was calling me the Karate Kid, man.
Right.
I mean,
Dude, it's a good sign.
They're not going to spend money on you to go get your medicals done if you're.
They do have to do that and weed it all out still and stuff. And so you kind of never know, like I said, who they got left and what's going on.
I'm just really wanting you to get on.
I feel like I'm on too. You know?
Everyone that asks, dude, Ricky got on? Hell yeah, he got on.
It's funny, man. Like I've thought about the Ultimate Fighter for a long time. I've always. Like I said before, that we had that going into it. Like it was just kind of, you know, so.
Dude, you know what's crazy, man, is just the amount of injuries that you've gone through leading up to this, man. Two years of injuries?
Longer? Yeah, if you put them all together, for sure. Yeah, in my 6 years, I've had two, maybe I've been sidelined 2.5 years.
So how long has it been since you had a fight?
A year and a half. Going 2 years.
And that's due to injuries, huh?
Due to injuries.
Dude, walk us through that, man. What was the first injury that happened within that 2 years?
Just recently or like my first injury?
Well, no, the first one at the beginning of that 2 years. So after your last fight.
Yeah, what started
what kept
your
you
stretch?
Out of the cage after your last fight?
So I got, I got hurt in the gym by a rookie.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Blew out your knee, right?
Yeah, I hurt my knee. So, but luckily I didn't have to have surgery. It just took a lot longer. I mean, maybe I should have to speed it up. But
yeah.
It was a bullshit deal, man.
That you happened know, almost 2 years ago?
Every time I think about it. No, that was a year ago.
Oh, okay.
So I guess the year before that, it was just, I hurt my knee in a fight. I got caught in a leg lock. And,
and this is the same knee?
I actually remember that. I remember you telling me about that.
Same knee.
So, but then, you know, I hurt the LCL in the fight, and then this time it was the MCL.
Getting an injury
that's
in a
terrible,
fight
man.
Is a lot different than getting injured during practice against some rookie.
Like we got to save it for that, you know?
Right.
And so, you always go balls to the walls in a fight. I got caught in a leg lock and I didn't tap.
Right.
And he fucked my knee up, but I got out and I won. You
right.
Know? So,
yeah.
You know, absolutely. I say it was worth it every day, mm-hmm. all day.
Right.
But yeah, this shit right here is just sad, man. It breaks my heart. It makes me want to cry every time I think about it. Jeez. It's just, you know, on a free roll Friday, easiest fucking day of the week.
The fun
and,
day.
Right. The fun day, the chill day. And just, you know, kind of letting your guard down, going too easy.
Right.
So, but hey, man, is what it is. You know, I just put it all in God's hands, man. Just what it, yeah. you know, is what it is, man. This fight game's a bitch, dude. And the whole timing of it, like, we're undefeated and everything's been great and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, man, it's been one hell of a ride, dude.
Right.
I ain't gonna lie. But, so, you know, going back to that, the timing of it here and now, and it's just kind of weird the way it all played
exactly.
out. And this popped up, the opportunity for this tournament. And I'm healthy now, you
yeah.
know. I've been had the summer to kind of just take it easy and
right.
focus on work and, you know, and all that stuff. So,
dude, everything happens in due time, bro.
Absolutely,
good catch.
Man.
Just, good yeah. catch. You can cuss on our show, dude. It's cool, man. It's PG-13.
I'm trying
yeah,
to
like
work on
it. It gets me going, though. But, yeah, so cool, man. Yeah, that's it. We're here. And yeah. so I'm excited for the opportunity.
That's cool.
Hoping, you know, like I said, to get the call.
So how are you preparing for that call?
Well, I'm preparing for a fight right now in
yeah.
4 weeks. If they plan on sending us back mid-January, I plan to fight mid-January.
So you're training to get up to speed to be ready to
yeah,
fight
yeah.
like when you get the call.
He's
good
yeah,
for you, man.
It was a quick transition, but yeah, just trying to do it still as smart as I can and still train as hard as I can. And
yeah.
so
was that,
we'll be ready.
Was that your last fight that you didn't spar at all for your camp?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, I had the Bellator fight that was supposed to, that would have been my last fight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
So technically, two fights ago, one fight, my last fight in the RFA, the one I got hurt, my
right.
knee. It was a televised fight, and my very next fight, I kind of trained on that bum knee for the Bellator fight. Like, Bellator's coming to Boise, Idaho, you can't pass that up.
Right.
So I kind of toughed it out, trained on the knee, and shit, maybe everything happens for a reason. My
right.
opponent came in 9.5
True.
Pounds overweight, and so we weren't
Dang.
Able to fight.
Whole another weight class.
Yeah, so
Let
my
me
last
just not
two
cut.
Fights.
Yeah, man.
I
maybe it's meant to be, dude.
Yeah, you know,
yeah, maybe it just
dude,
all fell
this
into
is your
place,
shot,
man.
That,
it's your
that,
shot,
and
bro.
And that's been my whole the whole career going,
yeah.
you know, and shit. It's just
things happen for a reason,
crazy,
dude.
Crazy, one misunfortunate event after the other, but is it, you know?
I don't know. Do you feel like, sometimes I feel like when I'm doing something, I'm like, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Oh, I've always felt that.
Yeah.
You know, I've been very blessed, and like, the martial arts is it, dude.
Yeah.
I feel closest to God. I feel martial arts is it. It's
yeah,
life.
Right.
And
totally.
So, you know, when I have that taken away from me, when, the, you know, these injuries and stuff, it's...
I can imagine.
God, man.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's a real test of faith.
Man.
It's a test of...
What do you do?
Shit, man, well...
Work, huh? Like...
I work, you know, of
right.
course I work. I got, you know, family and all that, but not, dude,
yeah.
I'm still, like, kind of in the gym watching. I'm watching
right.
fights every night. You know, I'm always part of it. Shit, when I hurt my leg, I was in the gym on a knee scooter, you know,
hitting
the
cast, bag,
just hitting the bag.
I remember
yeah.
watching
just
that.
Being around it, man. It's like just all I got and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. When you're hurt, you kind of take advantage of the time to help train people and like help mentor people.
I'm
like,
always there to help.
People
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah.
yeah.
To help. I
Speaking
got
of which,
it's good,
awesome
man. It probably
friends.
Means a lot, dude. Like for you guys, like for you know the professional athletes to go in there and like, you know, spend your time helping others. I think a lot of people look up to it and they're like, this is really cool. Somebody actually wants to pay attention to me. Like
right.
somebody who's like good at what they do thinks I might be decent at what they do. You know,
right.
like I think a lot of people appreciate that.
It's true, man.
Yeah.
Just from my Carson Fry fight, he helped me with holding for kicks.
Yeah.
The whole
I saw those photos.
Yeah, he's the one
yeah.
that called out spin elbow.
Yeah.
He called it out and I threw it.
yeah. I saw
yeah,
that.
It fucking worked.
It was dope, man. We still talk about that. Probably will forever. Right.
Yeah. That's tight, dude. Yeah, and then and you're getting ready to probably start training for another fight. When do you
yeah.
want to fight again?
So I'm trying to fight in March. Alfred's talking with the matchmaker of the LFA.
Nice.
So
and
for
those
that? Of you,
who, what's LFA?
Yeah, it's a feeder league for the UFC.
Okay, cool.
It's the league you'd want to fight in if you're not able to travel for the Ultimate Fighter show, like I wasn't able to because
yeah.
I had two losses. But
yeah.
yeah. So the LFA though, that's where it's at. If you become champion in that league, you're pretty much in. Especially
yeah.
if you're an exciting fighter. You know, you're not boring, you're not just trying to hold people and laying them and grind your way to victory. You know, you're doing some flashy techniques that are
yeah.
effective, you know, you have style, you're marketable.
Yeah, for sure, man. You
Dude,
gotta
and
be,
that's another
that's,
thing.
I was just going to say, yeah, your style super marketable because it's a very flashy style. It's
right.
Very
it's unique. Different. It's different. Yeah. But just stand up fighters in general, man.
Right.
I mean,
it's true. Yeah.
Don't get me
you're
wrong.
Super explosive, dude. Yeah. But you guys are all fun to watch because you have very unique styles. You've got a lot of karate influence, so I can tell. Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, the ground and pound, it's all great, the jiu-jitsu, but people just want to see somebody get kicked and punched in the face.
Yeah, totally, man. Yeah. In a grappling world, it's always nice to see somebody get like a flying knee to the face.
Dude, I love watching clean jiu-jitsu, though, like what we saw at the
for sure.
tryouts.
Absolutely.
For
like,
sure.
It was just as exciting as like some striking I've seen.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good these guys were at jiu-jitsu. That one dude with the beard. And then we watched one guy sub a guy like twice in 45 seconds.
Yeah.
And I was just like, geez, like clean submissions.
And like the same dude, he submitted the same guy twice. Wow.
In the same match. And the guy he submitted is 9-0. Yeah. So, and just watching that, I'm like, man. And I was actually supposed to fight that 9-0 guy at one point about a year and a half ago.
I remember telling me that.
Yeah. So I turned that down at the time. But watching that now, I'm just like, oh. I see.
Yeah.
You know, don't have to say names, but you know, look up who's 9-0 on the show and you'll know.
Yeah. Did he make it through though?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So even if he got submitted twice and he still
but
got
they
on.
Already know, dude. Like right. He's from a great camp. And he's badass.
They're looking at your fights too.
Yeah. They know. Yeah. They kind of know, but there's a chance for, you know, the new faces to show them or whatever, but
yeah.
Great jiu-jitsu, man.
That's cool. So what else? They didn't do anything else? Any other type of workouts or training with you guys? That was it?
Grappling, yeah. And so it was just a whole week of waiting around, man. I was in doctor's office every day kind of just doing that and able to sneak away at night for like a little run. But
yeah,
that was really it.
Yeah.
Losing money while I was there in Vegas, but that's...
Yeah.
You did it.
It's all good, man. It's all fun. It's about the experience.
Was your brother-in-law still there? Is that why?
He was he was there. That fucker got me into playing craps, dude. And so, you know, yeah. Like, I love to play poker and that. I play a lot of poker, but craps. And it's just, there's only one way to learn, man. That's to play. So,
right.
Yeah.
It's kind of an expensive
That's why I told him, I was like, I'm down to learn poker, but let's do it without gambling first.
I think your best odds are what, blackjack? I think
I like roulette. You just, and
I don't even know how to
red
play.
Or black.
Oh, that's they what you,
the
you
wheel,
just call it red or black.
The wheel. Yeah. It's, well, they got a bunch of numbers if you want to, you know, try to pick a number, but it's red or black. And, you know, I get pretty lucky on black. I just bet black, dude. So,
yeah. Got a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
Right?
It worked every night except one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm afraid to start gambling. One, I might be good at it, and two, like
fun,
the gambling I like to watch is people who like spend a bunch of money on scratch tickets, and then they just sit there and have like 100 scratch tickets, and they don't even scratch them; they just scratch off the barcodes and rescan them back in.
Oh,
yeah, they're hardcore. They're kind of like they're usually like people who don't typically take care of themselves and have a lot of money. Yeah, and they're probably just feeding like dollar bills in there. Yeah.
Right.
Poor people.
But that was my only gift.
But it's fun to
really,
watch it.
Though. You know, I was there kind of.
Should have got a Nintendo Switch.
Just, yeah, I wish.
Oh, you should have.
If I'd have been prepared, but yeah. It's just.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, man.
Where else are you going to fight?
Oh.
Like you said in the L.
Yeah, so the LFA.
So how does it work trying to get in there, or do you already have a shoe in?
So I got a guy, the promoter or the matchmaker is already looking at me. He's seen my last two fights. I'm a champ at Front Street, so it's not too hard. They just got to find me a good matchup, a good place to fight. And then, since I travel back and forth between Denver enough times, they're saying if they have a Denver show, I can fight on that one.
Yeah. So, well,
but speaking of, man, you going to come to Denver with me still? Let's say you get on the show. What date are you headed out?
Like the 15th, probably.
15th of January? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we can head that week before.
The week before? I know. That just seems crazy to me, though.
Dude,
the week before.
It's going to be the craziest time of your life. You might as well make it crazier. let's see real quick. So, yeah, dude, we can leave January 6th.
I do have a couple questions for you. So, you have a dojo?
I did.
You did have a dojo?
Yeah, I did, man.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I opened up a dojo last year, and shit, man, to be honest, it just kind of. It was a learning lesson. I learned that right now I just want to do martial arts.
Yeah, you know, it's tough to spend like time on both.
So I own an asphalt paving business, and that's where, you know, the real money comes in.
Yeah,
and
for
so
sure.
Between that, fighting, which is every bit of owning business, you know, yeah. I put just as much time into that as any other job, and my girl, you know, and so having the dojo, it was just kind of I was just getting home in time to tuck my daughter into bed every single night.
Yeah.
And so, and that was all I was doing. I wasn't able to train or anything. And and so I just figured, loving the martial arts the way I do, it just goes hand in hand. I would just love to teach it. And
you
I
gave
do
back,
love to
dude.
Teach
you
it,
gave back, man. You just, you did it.
And I absolutely plan on having a dojo. It's always been a dream.
Time
of
and
mine.
Place, man.
For
time
sure.
And place, you
for
know?
Sure.
It's just, we've got a window of opportunity right now.
Yeah.
And
take it.
And so I'm gonna take it, dude.
Like, yeah. So how does it work? Well, like, let's say you have a dojo. Do you sell? So is it kind of like a dentist office where if you sell it, you sell all of like your clients or like all of your patients? Like, do you sell off all those people to another dojo essentially? Like,
no,
if they
man.
Have a membership?
We kept a whole bunch that went over to my sensei's. That, you know, my sensei's been teaching here.
So you just say, hey, sorry, this is like where you guys should probably go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And, you know, I still work with a lot of them and stuff too. It's just, they're good, close friends, most of them and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was unfortunate. I had about 25 students when I kind of decided to, to do that. And it was a big bummer, but you know, I just kind of sooner rather than later, I just wanted to, I felt and knew kind of the way it was going. And I was just kind of, I wasn't sleeping, man. You know, I was just like, I felt like I was trading one for the other. And, you know, it's just, I can't say it enough. Martial arts is everything to me.
Yeah.
You know, I just, all I want to do is just, train and fight and stuff. So,
And you are a fourth degree black belt?
Fourth degree black belt.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
I was just promoted.
That's cool. Yeah. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds badass. Yeah, it means like Chuck.
Sure.
How many tiers are there?
Oh man, it's
like colors on top of black on top of
tons
of stripes on it on top of that. How does that work?
Red belts and shit. I mean, you know, the highest ones up there are probably around like, you know, 9, 10.
That's what I was thinking, like 8, 9, 10. That's what I've heard.
That's when you
super
become an old man, right? That's the only way it's legit. Like, I guess a red belt in Gracie system, don't you have to actually be like 90 years old or something? I don't know. I could just be saying something.
On your 90th birthday, you are.
Well, look up red belts in jiu-jitsu. They're all old men.
Yeah.
There's no young guys, you know?
That's crazy.
So
I got a question for you then. Karate, because I like karate growing up. It was like the coolest thing.
Yeah,
I mean, the 80s, man. Like, the Karate Kid. Like, what was the other one? With Chuck Norris, where
Texas Ranger or what?
No, it's the one where he like trains this kid to be like a karate champ. It's kind of like a ripoff of Karate Kid. It's hell of a ripoff. That kid actually committed suicide. He's an actor. Look it up on his IMDb. Hold on, I can look it up real quick. Yeah, dude. So who is
Van
your
Damme, bro.
Who is your
know,
yeah
saying,
who's your
you know,
who's
yeah,
your favorite that. Like famous karate like competitor like Chuck Norris, Van Damme?
I love Van Damme. I mean, you know,
he
to be honest,
it, dude.
He's
an actor.
Yeah,
he fought though.
He's a ballerina. No, yeah. I don't know if he's a real
I think
fighter,
he did fight, dude.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't
he
know
had
if he's in the
a
game.
Real
I'm just
fight
saying,
that was probably staged.
I'm pretty sure. No, I think he's like 19-1,
he's
man.
Like Steven Seagal, bro.
Nah, he really is, dude. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He would kick Steven Seagal's
44-4.
Oh shit.
Okay, I was wrong.
Yeah, professionally known, but he's a martial artist. Yeah, he's 44-4. Crazy though. Yeah.
I like Jet Li. Jet Li's a real stud. Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan's legit.
Jackie Chan
Kung
kills
Fu,
a dude.
Man.
You
yeah.
know who's legit? It's Tony Jaa. You know who that is? The Muay Thai guy.
Yep.
Dude, and his stunts, but he also does Muay Thai fighting. He's from Thailand. You know.
Yeah.
But
I'm gonna try to find this movie.
My
with
favorite karate and kung fu movies: Legend of the Drunken Master.
With Jackie Chan?
The second one?
Yeah. Those are good movies.
I like the first one.
The first one's great, but
I didn't even know they had a second
one. I love
the
fight scenes in the second one.
Dude, I got a question. The whole Bruce Lee, because Bruce Lee didn't compete, right? He was just a straight actor. But like
he didn't compete, but he fought. If that
but
makes
he
sense.
Fought. Yeah, yeah. But his style, he's a Jeet Kune Do. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Is it applicable? Like, is it a legitimate?
Oh,
yeah. Explain it to me. I don't know anything about it, but I know we've got a couple dojos.
Dude, honestly, this is what all Jeet Kune Do is using what works for you, right?
It's like a blend of everything.
Exactly. And that's honestly, that's what MMA is now.
Right.
So Jeet Kune Do is just like the bar setting of a mentality, because all these martial artists were living in fantasy land about the one perfect technique.
Right.
This can do that. But it's like, it doesn't work like that, dude. And it's
especially
proven
nowadays, dude, the new generation of fighters, you got to know it all.
There's no technique you can have that's just solid proof.
Right.
It's either a lifestyle or you don't have it.
Yeah, no, Jeet Kune Do is legit, man. They got great, you know, it's just karate striking, and you know, they might not go into details on the ground like a jiu-jitsu school would,
right?
But yeah, absolutely, they got all the basic fundamentals,
and that's
what my academy was, and that's what I, you know, wish and want to like create is just, you know, it's just real life, a little bit of everything. You know, it's like
I still look at Jeet Kune Do's mentality as opposed to an art. You know, because I see a lot of Jeet Kune Do practitioners, they try to like mimic the way Bruce Lee moves.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the MMA fighters do.
I don't really.
You never watch?
I haven't.
I found it.
Unfortunately, like, I ain't hung around with like real karate people in a while, dude. Since you know, I quit competing a long time ago, and I miss it.
Yeah.
I look up some stuff on the internet, and just the way they move, I'm like, that's just like the way Bruce Lee moves.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not bad, but it's like you watch like the way TJ Dillashaw moves.
It's
that Bruce Lee mentality, but for him.
Right.
You
absolutely.
Know?
And I kind of got turned off in a sense the way that the tournaments were going. It just, what do they call it now, extreme martial arts or some shit, like, you know, it's just, and I saw it happen, and I was the beginning of that era. My grandfather flew me around the world, the United States, at these big tournaments, and it was just starting to get more flashier,
getting away from being realistic.
Like, you know, how many times, how awesome can you backflip and
540
and spin the stick, cool, and this and that. And so I always pride myself on like the fighting, you know,
right?
But the point fighting and stuff, and man, point fighting I think is awesome and amazing. That's what we need to do, man. Start point fighting again.
I'm down.
But just that mentality of hitting and not be hit, you know, and so yeah, super legit.
Yeah, dude, that's
the extreme martial arts. I know the Peels were into that. When I started training at their gym, they were talking about it. They could do like backflips and stuff, and
cool,
I was like, dang, I can't even do any kind of flip.
I can't either.
I never but it's like, why would I put in time to learn that when I can put in time to learn how to throw like a spin back kick?
Beat somebody.
Yeah, totally.
That's probably why we ended up as MMA fighters,
right.
You know?
Right. So that's going back to say, I just kind of. I just want to fight, dude, the real, like, make it real, you know.
Yeah.
I want to prove my karate,
right?
And
you have plenty of times.
But you know, and being at Combat Fitness is just the absolute perfect gym for me, because, you know, these guys are all champion, you know, Pac-10 champion wrestlers, and black belts, and there's what, 5 freaking black belts on the mat, you know. Stuff, and so I've very quickly been able to fill that gap in the ground game, you know, over the 6 years that I've been doing this. So
yeah,
I love it. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see you on the show, man.
Yeah, hey.
Seriously, dude.
Keep our fingers crossed, man. Put in a good word.
Even if you're not on the show, I'm excited to just, like, see somebody from Boise get out there and do something.
About to make noise for sure, you know.
Yeah.
This is our year. I feel it.
My dog's barking for you.
Is there someone here?
I think so.
You want to check it out?
Yeah, we got to wrap it up anyways.
Yeah, okay,
it's been a half hour. So.
I appreciate it, guys.
Anyways, yeah, thanks for being on, man. We really appreciate it. Sorry that my dog's barking. This is embarrassing.
It's all good. Tim has a dog, guys.
Yeah, we got a dog. It's our mascot. If you haven't seen her, pop her head up here. But yeah, she's a lot of fun.
Except all right, well, podcasting. On the Pro Edge podcast, next episode, we're going to get Chris Crawford, the owner of Clippers, on for anyone who's listening. He's been voted best barber in Boise multiple times, and look forward to us sitting down and having a chat with him, and you guys will get to know him.
It's a lot of fun. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, thanks, Ricky.
Yeah.
See you guys. Thank you.
See ya.